Our first conversation is called How Do You Know? And this is a conversation that's super important to us because knowing our worth is very important, whether you are dating, whether you are in a relationship, remembering that, and assessing compatibility, which is something that changes throughout your life, throughout your partner, your potential partner's lives in terms of the seasons and the things that we experience. So the first folks who will be coming out here, and hopefully we have a tune for them. I'm gonna go that way because that's where the stairs are. The first folks that'll be coming out here are two couples, Jeanette Reyes and Robert Burton, out of Washington, D.C., two newscasters. Yes, Miss News Lady. And Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins and Daryl Jenkins. And our moderator, Francesca Hoagie. The one thing I want to say is I was on a panel with Francesca, and I was told that she was a love expert. And I was like, what that mean? Like, how are you going to be an expert? And then we got on this panel, and I was like, oh, I understand. So I'm going to let her do her thing, but trust, she is a wealth of information. Thank you.
Good morning, beautiful people. I am so excited to be here with you all and with these two beautiful couples. And we're going to be talking about how do you know? How do you know? Because that's the big question. And thank you, Cody, for that amazing introduction. Just to give you a moment of background about me, because Cody asked me to. So I am a recovering lawyer turned love coach, because I decided that instead of being a corporate lawyer who helped rich corporations get richer, I wanted to help people to love themselves more and to get into healthy relationships, because that's what life is all about. It's about love, starting with love of yourself. So that's what I do, and I'm very grateful to do it and to be here and have this conversation. So our goal for this conversation is that you all leave feeling inspired and knowing your worth and knowing that having the love that you want is possible for you. Even if it doesn't look the way you thought it would or happen the way you thought it might happen. So let's jump in. So let's talk about compatibility. All right. So the question of how do you know? This is a question that people ask me all the time. How do I know? How do I know when I'm dating, when I meet somebody, if they're the right person? So I would love to start. I'm going to start with Jeanette and Robert, if you don't mind. So when you first met, what made you think, I think this might work?
I mean, it was more than just one moment. I think they're not going to get the card joke, but
there was this joke that it was a thing that I quietly did with the credit card.
Right.
And it was the fact that he was the only person that got it, that we were like, maybe there's something here.
Yeah.
you get me.
Yeah.
Sense of humor was really, really big for us. We just had dry sense of humor, self-deprecating. We didn't, like, when things were just not looking good, we would just crack up. When the lights would go off, we'd be like, wow.
Light shut off. Like, we would argue with the people at the bill company, like, you know, get going to a back and forth, and then we'd laugh about it afterwards, and like,
be like, hello again.
Yeah. Like,
it's
we're
us.
Really broke. Yeah, so, you know, we knew them well.
But a sense of humor is what got us through. We met in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was like the beginning of our careers. We made absolutely no money. And we just had to make it work however we could. And so, like, our go-to place was IHOP. That's what we could afford. And then we'd feel guilty afterward because we'd be like, dang, we just spent
$30. That we don't have.
But for me, how I knew personally that he was the one, it was a couple of things. My mom, I'd asked her, it was like she was waiting for me to ask her. I was like, what do you think about Robert? And she was just like, I really, really like him for you. Because she saw how well we got along. We were good friends for about 6 to 8 months before we started dating. And then ultimately, when I got a job offer in D.C., so I was leaving Little Rock. He was really happy for me, and he was telling me to go for the job. So it mattered to me that he saw that I loved my career, I loved what I was doing, and he was willing to support me doing it, even if it meant us being long distance.
And not to try to be long-winded, but back to IHOP, it's like, yeah, I mean, I've told this story several times, but I just didn't have enough money on my card on our first date at IHOP. And she could have been like, that's it. You know, that's, I'm never coming back. Even my mom, when she heard the story, she was like, and you stayed with him? So, yeah, it was, my credit card got declined and she said, well, you know, let's go to ATM. We can come back, you know, pay this bill. And from there, we just became like best friends. And so I kind of knew it.
And we could pay our light bill now.
We're good now. Like, we're good. We're good now.
That is amazing. Because I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know how many of you are single in the room, but if somebody on a first date, their card got declined.
It's a wrap,
it
right?
Helped that we were friends.
Right,
yeah, it wasn't,
right.
It wasn't an official date. It helped that we were friends.
Yeah, yeah. You know. We were friends first, so.
Okay, well, speaking of friends, so Ashley and Daryl, the two of you started off as friends, friends with benefits, and which, yes. I mean, yeah. You know, I'll speak for myself, and I'm sure I'm not the only person in the room. You know, I've had a few friends with benefits situations in my past, they didn't end up like y'all ended up. So how did you do it? How did you know?
It wasn't looking good, guys. It was not looking good.
It was ordained.
It was, I guess it was just meant to be. How do we know? For me, I think it was just, we always had a vibe. There was just always a vibe with us. Early on, like literally the day we met, we just had a vibe.
Yeah, it clicked.
And even throughout all the ridiculousness and situationship and whatever, and growing up, because we met at 22, you were 23, I believe.
I was 23.
He's a little bit older than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
by 6 months. But you never left. Like, we were always in each other's orbit.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, because we went through a lot of shit. Like, stuff. Sorry, guys. We went through a lot of stuff, but we always came back to each other, right? Like, she would be pissed at me. I'm annoyed with her questioning me about stuff. But a couple weeks go by, and it's like, I gotta talk to Bash. I gotta talk to Ashley, and vice versa. Like, you would always call me and like, D, what are you doing? Like, let's hang out. Let's talk. Let's do this. Let's do that. We can never shake each other. And eventually, obviously, we became best friends. And for me, she was always somebody. I have a lot of friends or whatever, but I'm not the person that like goes deep with every friend. Like, I'm the like fun friend. Let's go get drunk or let's go like play basketball or something like that. And I kind of keep my thoughts to myself. And she was like the only person for me that I could be like, let me talk about my career and let me talk about like what I want to do in life and hopes and dreams that I have and trauma that I have from a kid and all of this type of stuff. It was only her. So yeah, that's kind of like, I was like, this is it. Like, this my girl.
But tell the story about how like you knew. Remember the story? That's a good one.
Yeah.
We haven't shared that one.
You know, a couple is like, you know, you know you're in it when you're prompting each other.
Tell that story.
Tell that one. That's a good one.
Well, we had been, again, up and down through thick and thin, all of that type of stuff. And then we went to Santa Barbara for New Year's Eve. And so Santa Barbara is beautiful. We had our puppy at the time. She was like 6 months or something like that. And it was just a beautiful day. Obviously, we live in California, so it's always nice. But like, we were in Santa Barbara on the pier. The coastline was like glistening. Everybody was happy. Everybody's like, yeah, it's a new year. I'm gonna get rich this year, all of that. Like, it was good energy. And so we were on the pier and taking pictures and stuff. And I just kind of like, I don't know, I had like an outer body experience. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, it just don't get no better than this, right? I'm with my best friend. We got our new pit bull. Like, like, it's a new year. The sun is shining. We on the coastline. I'm from Detroit. So like, come on now. What up, though? What up? So it just was crazy. And I was like, this is my wife. Like, this is the life that I want. This is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And then from then on, I was like, all right, let me get this money together so I can get this ring. But yeah.
See, I love this. This is so beautiful. Because what you're both really talking about is the friendship. And that trust and that connection that you built, that that was what enabled you to know that you were right for each other. And I'm really glad to hear you say that because, I mean, I agree and definitely feel friendship is the foundation of my relationship as well. And I think that oftentimes people get really caught up in this idea of who they should be with and the list, the idea of the list. And there's nothing wrong with having a list. It's, you know, you need to know what you want, but it can be a little too rigid, right? And you can start to block your blessings and block that connection because you get so attached to that list. So Jeanette, I want to ask you, because I know that you had a friend that when you and Robert first started dating was like, no, you need to be with somebody who's more established. You need to be with somebody, you know, so somebody was trying to put their list on you, yeah. Which happens, I'm sure. That definitely happens. People try to put their requirements on you. So what advice do you have, and what was it that made you know, I don't need to worry about all of that. Yeah. I don't need to worry about someone else's idea of who I should be with.
So I had dated previously, older gentleman, well-established, also an attorney, recovering attorney, actually, because he left law as well.
There's a lot of us. There's more of us who used to be lawyers than are lawyers.
Right. Great guy, well-established, all of that. And there was just no chemistry. Like, our sense of humor was different. We just didn't connect. And I was very much willing to just live that way, because he checked everybody's list. Like, he's a smart guy. He's handsome. He's, you know, he was romantic. All of that. But there was no chemistry. And it was my girlfriend's telling me, like, this is it. Like, this is the guy you should be with. We even went ring shopping. Like, I was really ready to take the leap, and that was it. And then ultimately I decided I couldn't live that way. Because I remember thinking specifically, I don't want to go on a double date sitting across from a couple who has that spark and being confronted with something that I will never have. And
that is so real.
I decided to walk away from that. And I remember the guy was thinking, like, what are you doing? Because I think he knew what he brought to the table. And I was really fearful when I walked away. And then when I met him, it was what I wanted, which was, I really care about laughing. Like, life is gonna be hard. It's just different types of hard. And for me, if you can laugh with me through it, and I had been through hard. I had lost my father a year before I met him. If you can laugh with me through it, then we'll be okay. If you don't take yourself seriously, I didn't necessarily care for someone who had a lot of money. Like, if we can hustle together, if we can build together, as long as I'm not the one pulling the weight, if we can work hard together, and I know there's a lot to be said, people have varying opinions on that. I'm like, let's get down to business together, and let's celebrate together when we get to the other side. So for him, with him, that was what I saw in him, and I was satisfied with that.
Yeah, I love that. And actually on that, because in terms of that success, having a certain amount of money, that's one of the biggest things that people get really, they're really focused on when they're dating and they're thinking about relationships and compatibility. But what you just said, I totally say that the same thing, which is, don't worry about how much money somebody has in the bank account, but, you know, where are they going? Like, what are their dreams for their lives? Like, what's the work ethic? What's the desire to build together? And I always talk about relationships as being a co-creation, right? It's not, you know, you're always half of the equation in your relationship. So, Ashley and Daryl, what would you say are the things about your relationship and your newlyweds? You just celebrated 1 year, right? Okay, so happy anniversary. So, 1 year into marriage, but many years into, you know, being together and friendship. So what would you say are the elements that you bring together that make your relationship work so well?
Man, so Dee and I are opposites in a lot of ways. Almost every way. yeah. So, I mean, naturally, the things that I bring to the table, he really needs. And in his ways, I really need more of. I think, you know, I am very structured. I like to live my life with a lot of structure. Daryl reminds me to be spontaneous. I can't plan every aspect of my life. I can't imagine if I were with someone who was just as like regimented and structured as I were. Like, you know, to Jeanette's point, we wouldn't have any fun. You know what I mean? Like, we would just be like waking up, doing our to-do list over some tea or something. Like, that's boring. So I think, and kind of going back to the first question, one of the things I love most about you, Daryl, is that you have always made me feel alive. I think that was part of the...
He liked that one.
I think that was part of the, like, the draw, the reason why we couldn't ever, is because there was something so lively about him, lively about us, lively about our future. Like, I just, it always gave me a pep in my step. And I think that's really important for a relationship, and that's what keeps us going. We're never stagnant. We're never in the same place. Our lives are always changing and moving, but we have the confidence that we're always gonna have each other. Yeah. What would you say?
I think, I mean, well, it's crazy because you kind of stole my answer, but...
See, you're more alike than you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I think that's the same thing for me, right? Like, I think when you talk about compatibility and how relationships work, everybody tends to think about we gotta like the same things and we have to want the same things and they gotta want two kids, I gotta want two kids and all of that. And some of those things are true, right? But, and we talked about this, like, some, what really makes us stick are the differences that we have. Like she said, like, she's very regimented. I'm not. Like, we was late today. So,
you made it though. Yeah. You're right on time.
He's leisurely eating a bagel. I'm like, Daryl.
I'm like, we good. It's black people. It's going to start late. Like, it's fine. But like, those are the things that help you grow too, right? Like, there's things that if she just liked to watch basketball with me all the time and thought everything that I liked, she liked, it would just be, I would be dating the same person. And for me, I watch different stuff now because of her. Like, that's a stupid example, but like, I'm into Teen Mom now.
No,
like,
but that's real.
I'm like, she put me onto that. Like, Young and Pregnant, like, it's crazy. These shows are crazy. You gotta watch them, guys.
There's a theme.
But like, yeah, it's stuff like that.
And I'll give a really good quick example. Like, I've always been a dreamer. Like, since I was very young, like, I always had big dreams. And, you know, Daryl, not so much. I don't mean that in a bad way. Everyone's not like a, you know, off in La La Land dreamer. But I think due to us being together, Daryl has seen that he can dream. He can do things other than just what he went to college to do. He can make money that's outside of just what they say the salary is, because that's the life that I've always lived. And so sometimes you have to just lead by example, and the other person will kind of come over to your side. And for me, when we even got married, or well, not so much when we got married, I would say before that, when we got into a relationship, Daryl was not a dreamer. He was still like the 9-to-5 guy, you know, okay, this is the job, went to school for finance, you know, whatever. And now we have a completely different life and he's so much more fulfilled. But had we been the same, we both would have been kind of living unfulfilling lives, but like loving each other, but, you know, not being incredibly happy outside of the love that we share. And it's so important to have your life, your world, be colored and exciting and full outside of just whatever your relationship is, because life is about doing all of the things you want to do, not just being in love.
Yes. Oh my God. I love all that. I love everything you just said, because it goes to my point. Like, it's a co-creation. It's what the two of you are coming together to bring. And I think people tend to think, I need to be with somebody who is just like me, right? Like, I need to be with somebody like I actually, this is a silly example, but like my partner, he's into cycling, and people are like, oh, do you ride with him? I'm like, I do not. I don't have any interest in that, but I love that he does. And I even had a friend of mine say, she's like, oh, you know, I'm just so impressed that, you know, you even gave him a chance, because I would never have given somebody a chance who had a hobby that I didn't have. And I was like, what? Yeah. Why would you not? You know, because that is what makes it interesting. You know, you don't want to date yourself. You don't want to spend your life with yourself, right? it's yourself is wonderful, but and not in another person, right? You don't need double the dose. You need you need to shake things up a bit. So Robert, what are you? Because I didn't really get your answer. I mean, I didn't ask you. Sorry, I skipped you. So
it's okay.
I would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, what do you think it is? What is there's the friendship, but what do you think it is that allows you to make it work as a couple? What are you bringing together?
I think I don't even want to say competition, but what inspiration? For me, it's
no.
Like,
you know what?
You're looking at me.
When Ashley and Daryl were talking, that's the word that I kept on thinking was inspiration. You inspire each other. So
it's an inspiration thing because with JR, so we're news anchors in Washington D.C. and she's not gonna want me to say this at all, but she's like a star. Like she is. She's everything in Washington,
yes.
D.C. And she, in fact, you know, we're going through our sweep period right now, and she's on pace to have the number one newscast in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a star.
Yep. She is. I mean, in the car to the hotel, she's going to be like, why did you say all that? But I feel like constantly, I don't want to say I'm playing catch up, but I try to be on that level that she's on. And I feel like if I were with someone who was right there with me or below me, I'm not saying that's bad, but the fact that she works so hard, I feel like I have to work hard too. You know what I'm saying? I have to work just as hard because she inspires me. And I think that us working hard together just makes it all the more better. And I also think that affirmations are huge. I also think affirmations are huge. Babe, I'm so proud of you. I love what you're doing right now. I don't think you really understand what you're doing right now. You're changing the game, and that works wonders. I mean, I think that goes over a lot of people's heads. I think a lot of couples forget to do that, just to tell their significant other, like, I see what you're doing. And it's crazy, like in a good way. You know what I'm saying? And I think that goes a long way. I think we both try to do a good job. We could always do a better job of it. But I think we try to get that in there every time we can, anytime we can, anytime there's some sort of, you know, congrats in order, we have to get that in because that's so important. So, yeah.
I will say, though, what's the word? There is friendly competition. Because I
it
remember
is,
when you
is.
Were ahead ratings-wise, I'm like, you know, these things aren't legitimate.
right.
We've
it wasn't legit when I was doing it.
With
yeah.
these ratings numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a bit of friendly competition, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
It keeps it fun. Keeps it spicy. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, and I don't know how many people in the room are on your dating journey right now. You know, I really think of all of us, we're all on a love journey, and that is a lifelong journey. And usually, well, a lot of how we're taught about relationships in our culture is very much like you meet the person, you meet the right person, and then it all magically works out. You live happily ever after. And that's not true, right? Like it's always going to take that effort and that co-creation over time. But in terms of people who are on the dating portion of their love journey right now, what advice do you all have in terms of when you're dating and you're getting to know someone? Because you all had the benefit, you know, you worked together, you know, you met, were you in school when you first met? No.
Just graduated.
You just graduated.
Like, within that year.
Okay. So you had that time to really establish that friendship before you got into the romantic piece of it. But for people who are like, well, I'm dating. And so when you go on a date, you know, you're already, you know, moving in that direction. So what's your advice for people as to, you know, the kinds of conversations to have, the kinds of questions to ask when you're getting to know someone? I mean, I would say before I let you all answer, you know, because another thing when you were talking before, I was thinking is so important is how you feel when you're with this person, right? Like, and not just like, oh, do I feel attracted to them? But like, do I feel good? Do I feel seen? Do I feel heard? Do I feel like this person actually cares about who I am as a person? So what is your advice for people when they're getting to know someone? How do you determine that?
I would say a big major piece of advice is always be yourself. I think sometimes we, you know, we're like, okay, we have this date. I'm going to be, I don't want him to see this side of me. I don't want the whatever to come out. I don't want the, but like, show your full self from the beginning. Do not reserve parts of yourself until you get to 4 months or until you go on 3 dates or something like that. Like, it is so important for someone to never look up and be like, I didn't know you were, or you, oh, such and such is coming out now. It's like, no, you got this from the beginning, because if someone can't receive or appreciate your full self from the beginning, then what's the point of continuing? I think going back to what we were saying, what we were talking about with our relationship, we were always our full selves. You know, he talks about the first day meeting me, he was like, yeah, I don't know, she might be a little too emotional. Well, guess what? He's right. He was right. I am in touch with my emotions, so what's up? Can you deal with that? If not, ta-ta. You know, but I didn't hide anything about myself, and neither did he. So I wasn't confused. I would say that. And then I would also say, have fun. Dating should not be intense. Dating is fun. Like, enjoy your life. And also, don't put so much pressure on dating. Like, continue to live your life outside of whatever dates or whatever you're doing. Like, because that's the thing. Like, if you're single now, there will be a time, if you're dating, it's the goal is to not be single, right? So then enjoy the time that you're single, because it doesn't, you don't get it back. You know what I mean? So have fun. Don't put so much pressure on it. And also, to your point, the feeling, you'll know. Like, we all have intuition for a reason. It's a God-given gift. So use it. If you have a weird feeling with somebody, don't go out with them again. Find somebody else that you don't have a weird feeling with. Like, it's really easy, you know?
I would say a couple of things. Be really careful, I guess, from experience. Some people are well-intentioned. Be careful who you let in your ear. There are people who project on you, who, as we mentioned, make you follow their list, but they're not there when you're looking back on the opportunities you missed, the people who perhaps you were compatible with, but decided to reject them because of this, what this well-intentioned friend was telling you. So just be very selective about who you let in your ear. Make sure it's a person who's wise, a person who knows you. The other thing is the feeling. I feel like increasingly we put down what you feel over what it looks like on paper. So if it looks like a resume, if it looks really, really good on paper, then forget what you're feeling, then this is it. And I think the two work in harmony together. I was with Robert, I think what my mom picked up was that I had this joy. I was just really happy all the time. We were laughing all the time. We were friends. Again, this was a year after my father passed. I cried with you for the very first time, actually. So I struggle with vulnerability, and I was able to be vulnerable and open with him and let my guard down. And then also, he accepted all of me. I had been with men before who were intimidated by an ambitious woman who wanted to be all that she is as a woman, eventually all that she is as a mom, all that she is as a wife, and realize that it's a balance. At some time, one thing will get more attention than the other, but they weren't intimidated by it. He embraced all of that. And I think you can tell early on whether a man wants you to be an accessory to who he is, or you all will complement each other, not complete each other. We would not have worked if he was either intimidated or saw me as a, like I said, as an accessory to what he is. And I think that's why we did really well together.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Intuition, which is what you're both talking about, it is the number one gift that we have. And so many people override their intuition in relationships. So many people. It's like, you know, in so many situations, you look back, you know, months later, years later, and you're like, I knew it. I knew it from the beginning and I didn't listen, right? So to myself, I didn't trust myself, which I think gets into self-love and self-worth. And I want to ask you a question about that, but just for the audience, I think we are going to have time for a few questions. So if there is anyone in the audience who wants to ask a question. I don't know if we have a mic or we'll work it out, but just get your questions ready and we'll figure out. And actually, you can probably just stand up and shout it out. Yeah. What's that? Yes, I'll repeat the question if we can't hear. So, but before we get to your questions, one last question, and it's about self-love. And, you know, this is the foundation of what I do when I work with people, is really helping people to understand their worth and understanding that love is an inside job, right? So I would just love to hear your thoughts on the role of self-love and self-worth and having a healthy relationship that works.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah, you start, okay. Ashley.
Kick it off, Ash.
Self-love is... I can't show up for Daryl. I can't show up for our marriage if I don't show up for myself first. And it's okay to admit if you're struggling with that. I think it's important, though, in choosing a partner that can see that and that can help edify you in that way. It's really, really important. I think for me, showing myself love is also being intentional about self-care. You know, I think particularly when you're dating, it's important to love yourself and treat yourself the way that you want your potential partner to treat you. It's like you have to, you know, you have to show people how you want to be treated. You really do. So you, I think oftentimes you have these expectations, right? Like, I want a guy, or I want a woman, or whatever. I want them to, you know, get me a massage every week. I want them to have fresh flowers for me anytime we go on a date. I want them to make sure that I have dinner on the table by 8, but we don't do any of those things for ourselves. So it's a little bit of like an empty, vapid ask. You have to show up for yourself in the ways that you want your partner to. And then oftentimes when you do that, your partner will exceed those expectations because you're doing it for yourself in such a genuine way. And so that's what I try to do, you know? And it's easy to do because I'm also with someone who loves me so deeply and so genuinely. So it's easier to, yeah. So it's easy to show up for, he's made it easier for me to show up for myself because Daryl will remind me. You know, if I'm complaining about something about my, you know, it's kind of like what Robert said, like the affirmations, that's so important. But Daryl reminds me to affirm myself. He's not just allowing me to rely on his affirmations of me. He's saying, but did you say it to yourself today? I'm telling you, you look good. But did you tell yourself you look good today?
Yes, Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. He's.
I'm that guy.
Yeah. Yes, babe, you are. So yeah, self-love is so important. And I just really think everyone should have a journal and they need to write down what that is for them and what makes you feel good and do that for yourself before you can expect a partner to do it for you.
Yes, to all of that. Yes, Ashley. Daryl, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with everything she said. But the only thing I'll add is, especially as a man, as a Black man, something that Bash has helped me with. Sorry, I call her Bash in case you guys didn't
I think they
know.
Picked up on that.
Yeah, we did. It's so cute. Yeah, I love
we're
it.
40 minutes into this by now. So, but something that she's helped me with, because I wasn't somebody who really thought about self-love or self-care for that matter, outside of just doing stuff that I wanted to do. But as a man and more specifically as a Black man, Bash has taught me that I need to talk to somebody else, right? And that I need to tap into what my feelings are and kind of get that stuff out. Because I walk through the world and I kind of just battle with my own demons on my own. Like I'm in the house and I might get quiet and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. And I'm thinking about 30,000 things and how I get this money and I got to get the cars washed and like all this other stuff, like, right, that goes through my mind. But in talking to Bash, she's helped me to understand that, like, you don't have to do that by yourself, right? And talking about therapy and just support groups and things like that that can get my center right. Because if I'm not right, when I walk in the house, my energy is going to be off, which then messes up our relationship, right? And then she's snapping at me because I'm not mad at her, but she think I'm mad at her because I'm thinking about something about myself that I ain't talked to nobody about. and I can't figure out on my own. And it's just, it's bad. It's all bad. The energy in the crib is messed up and we mad at each other. So when I start with myself, my energy is good. I'm happy, which makes her happy. And seeing her happy makes me happy. So it's aww, just like a never ending circle. So
you are that dude. Because, yeah, okay. I could talk to you both all day about everything you just said. I love it so much. Robert, Jeanette, how do you feel the role? What is the role of self-love in your life and your relationship?
First of all, what Ashley said about Daryl, the have you told yourself? That's crazy. Like I think again, we do a lot of, you know, affirming each other. We do a lot of
Shout you out for a second though?
Yes.
Okay. It's been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's always had a really strong sense of self. And has a positive outlook on himself. He doesn't absorb a lot of, I'll give you an example. I internalize a lot of what's out there and I carry it with me. And, you know, past trauma, I carry it with me. And it just seeps into everything in your relationship. So we're polar opposites in that sense. And it is wild just how much it can just totally flip on its head the dynamic of your relationship, because you're struggling with lack of self-love and also the, I guess, not addressing it. Like, we went years with me not actively addressing certain things that were affecting both of us. And like I said, he's always big on not just complimenting me physically, but my character, my morals, it just goes beyond the physical. And I will say, I don't think your journey of self-love, I think it's your primary responsibility and your partner is complementary to that. I don't think it's fair to your partner to make all the, to make them do all the hard work. I think you should be leading that effort. I will also say the worst thing you can do is find a partner who exploits your lack of self-love. And sometimes it's subtle things. They exploit that and they take advantage of that. So the very, very first thing you can do is find someone who sees you, celebrates you, speaks it into you. And I think that goes a long way in that sense. And with us, it's really, really helped me when it comes to that journey. Little things that I didn't notice before that he's always really been good about. When it comes to therapy, marital counseling, he has no issues talking about his feelings, vulnerability, weaknesses, insecurities.
None of it.
He's never had an issue with that.
Because so. I'm not the only one with it. Not the only one with it. Just because I can talk about it doesn't mean nobody else in this room has deep issues. But I also think that, again, the self-love, my belief is that you need that push from your partner to have self-love. Not, like you said, it shouldn't be all on your partner, but you need that nudge. You need that extra little, like, you doing it, you know. You are that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're that guy.
Well, you need to love yourself enough to be with somebody who's going to support you like that. And shout you out like that. Yes.
Yes.
You just wrapped a bow on it for me. So there you go. Thank you, Francesca.
See, you're that guy too. All right.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to give our audience a chance. We have time for a couple of questions. If anyone has... Oh, there we go.
So when you guys were together, I know you were saying that you lost your father, so I experienced the same. So when you guys were going through your first storm, how was that handled? That kind of reaffirmed, like, okay, this is my person. And it probably happened maybe even after you already were married. So, like, I know I'm married. We went through a lot of storms before, and, like, that was a major, like, okay, that's my guy because of how you dealt with things I've never gone through before. We got this. So I want to hear you guys' stories of, like, because, you know, when it's unicorns and stuff, you know, and fairy dust, and they're great. But when it's like something really, really hard, how did you guys handle that?
I'll say for me, we've been through infertility, PCOS, IVF, IUI. that we've been through 4.5 years long distance marriage. The first 4.5 years of our marriage was long distance. I moved 2 months to Philadelphia, 2 months before we got married. That was the most trying, most difficult time in our marriage where we talked about divorce. I'm the kind of person that sometimes will run away from a problem and will look for an exit. He's the kind of person where it's like, no, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this. If this ends, it's not because of me.
That's what we would say.
Was that exactly what we said?
I think that's literally what we said. I said, if we get a divorce, it's not going to be because I want it. Remember that?
Yeah. And so the point is, he is the calm in my storm. He is the level head. He's level headed. He doesn't act on emotion. He rides it out. He's taught me that. That is like the constant reminder of him being the one for me, right? Like that's what complements me. I need someone who can stay level headed, who keeps his cool, who, you know, a lot of men talk about they want to be the leader. You got to have leader qualities. You're not just by default a leader. I'm just saying, you got to be leading me somewhere in order for me to follow you.
Facts. I know, we all need to applaud.
And he's shown those qualities. And I have no problem in those aspects following him when he's shown the strength and the willingness to be that person. That's how I knew he was the one.
And this is not just me. This is vice versa. Like, I recently had a lot of issues going on with my job. Like, and I had never experienced before when it seemed like there was no way I was going to be able to bounce back from this. But I had her. I had her. And if I didn't have her, I didn't know what I would do. The advice, the comfort, all of that. And I don't want to be long-winded about it. But basically, yeah, just having her to weather the storm.
Who is inspired by these beautiful couples? that was beautiful. Thank you. I know we have another question here. Can we get the mic to this? There we go. Lovely.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Natasha. Thank you so much. I'm inspired by you all. Literally.
Thank you.
I love the doc. I feel like I know you because I'm like, I watch it like, what was it, every Sunday on demand. So just thank you for being so vulnerable with your stories. I'm just so blessed. So my question, Ashley, you mentioned this. Me and my girlfriend were literally, I called her in the bathroom at work. Like, I'm ready to date, girl. Because I wasn't saying that in August. So she was, you know, we talked about, she was like, call it out. What do you want? You know, I said it in the bathroom. And she was like, and don't put so much pressure on it. That is always the question of like, what does that really mean? Like, don't put so much pressure on it. And I don't know if it has to do with growing up in a church and things like that, but I just feel like the person I date, I want to marry. Like, I don't feel like I want to be just out here in these streets, like giving my heart, giving my time. And I guess I'm almost asking like the blueprint, like what is dating and like, what does it really mean? I feel like people don't really talk about like what healthy dating is and what does it look like to not truly put pressure on it, but then have expectations. Cause I think women, we're always like, we can meet somebody and like, oh, that could be a husband. We can name it. You know, we just make the fairy tale in our head and the man just said hi. So I just truly want to know, what does it mean to not put pressure on it when you do have expectations? Like, how do you not get hurt, do it healthy, and it's purposeful? I think that's my question.
So here's the thing. We can't guarantee any of that. You might get hurt. You might have expectations that are not met. You might meet somebody you think is the one and they are 1,000% not the one. Like, all of this is very probable and actually highly likely. But I think the blueprint to dating is knowing that it's all setting you up for who is. It's like life, right? That goes for jobs. It goes for friendships. It goes for anything. Everything is a setup. So it's about being able to take the hard times that might come and saying, okay, God, I know you have a bigger plan though. And also be able to sit down and not only lament about maybe whatever didn't go right, but be grateful for the lessons you learned. Because that's the thing, it's all about perspective, right? We can look at things and be all, woe is me, and that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But then when you really dissect it, you're like, actually, I'm stronger. I know more now. Now I know for sure what I like and what I don't like. Now I know I should have trusted my intuition after that second date. I won't do that again, right? So again, I think part of removing the expectations too is to have fun. If you trust your gut, which we were talking about is your God-given gift, you don't have to put so much energy into it. Your body's gonna tell you. When you go home after that date and lay down at night, you're gonna know how you feel about it. We all just choose to ignore it. But I would say lead with the intention of following your instincts and your intuition and see what comes out of that. And believe that you will have the partner. If you know that was promised to you, he doesn't make mistakes. So just sit back, have a good time, and wait for your partner to come. And remember that you'll know. You'll know.
Yes, Ashley. Amazing answer. So we have to wrap up, unfortunately, because I could absolutely have this conversation with you all day long. This is amazing. That was a great question. And I just have to add to it because I'm a love coach. I have to. So I really encourage you and everyone who's dating to embrace dating as a process that is teaching you all of the love skills that you need to be in a relationship that lasts. Right? Because the relationship is not the prize. You are the prize, right? And so just like Ashley said, you're learning from those experiences. You're learning what you want. You're learning what you need. You're learning what is the deal breaker for you. You're learning to trust yourself. You learn to love yourself. You learn because yes, even if you are with the most perfect partner for you and you are together for the next 60 years, at some point you're going to have to say goodbye, right? So pain, we can't avoid pain, but you can strengthen your confidence and your resources within yourself to know that I'm going to be okay because I've got me. And then you can get excited about being with a partner and what you can create together, right? But you are already the prize. So enjoy yourself.
Can I say it? Yeah. I want to say one thing. I know we got to wrap. One thing as a caveat, like to close this whole discussion. What works for one relationship not only does not necessarily work for you, it could be detrimental to your relationship. I like to say this because I think in this age of couple goals, hashtag relationship goals, that is so dangerous. Because the beauty of all of us is that we're all so different. And the biggest mistake I made was asking friends, again, well-intentioned, asking them what works for you, and then wanting to apply that to my relationship, and it's an issue. So we say all of this speaking from our personal experiences, where we come from, the experiences we've had in life, our past traumas, all of it influences what works for us. So just keep that in mind. Be careful who you share your relationship vulnerabilities with, who you ask for advice. Again, the best of intentions, but ultimately what works for you, works for you. And some folks may criticize what works for you. If you're respecting each other, if you love each other, if you each feel good at the end of the day, that is all that matters. So I hope you take that away from this discussion.
Yeah. Well said, well said. Thank you, Robert and Jeanette. Thank you, Ashley and Daryl. Thank you to all of you. Thank you for two amazing questions. Thank you, Cody, for having us all.
Yes, thank you.
Yay. All right. We're gonna go now.